strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Ring. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
Well, we've called an audible here tonight. You could say that we're running the spread formation, if you will, on the Big Red Rage.
I don't like it, Paulie, but go with it.
We're definitely not at the Cardinals' headquarters, the Dignity Health Training Center. Paul Calvisi here at Casa Calvisi, where I'm hoping the 13-year-old is not using up all the bandwidth at the moment and playing Xbox, and he should be out in the backyard is what I'm looking at right now in Weed Patrol. So that's where I am. Ron Wolfley, where are you?
Well, I'm the Auction Community Studios, as a matter of fact, Paulie, broadcasting, so you don't have to.
There you go. Okay. And I tell you what, maybe it's me, but I could use a good hour of football talk like never before.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, Paulie. Let's do it, shall we?
I mean, this is sports at its best. Escapism, bringing us together as we talk a little ball. We know the Cardinals have already won the offseason. We know that. We declared that last week. They got the Rex Ryan Award.
Why are you saying this? You know this. I mean, you made fun of Rex Ryan forever, saying we won the offseason, and rightfully so. It was some of the best radio I've ever heard you do, as a matter of fact, ripping the offseason and saying we've won the offseason. Paul, we do not want to say that ever. Okay? Even if you have. Just pretend like you haven't.
It's too late. I've already hacked into the Wikipedia page. The Arizona Cardinals in 2020 are already 1-0. I've already changed the record, just to let you know. In fact, Ron Wolfley, did we not get another headline today as Murray will be back?
Yeah.
Justin Murray, as in the other Murray, signed today. And hey, don't minimize this. Ron Wolfley, Justin Murray could be your starting right tackle easily this season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Justin Murray acquitted himself very, very well. When you think of the fact that he started 12 games last year, right? And he came in, of course. He came in September, and they picked him up off waivers, and suddenly, 3 days later, he made his first start. Paul, I mean, it's incredible when you stop and think about the progress that Justin Murray truly made at right tackle. And I said this, and you know I did, weeks ago. I said it weeks ago, and I believed it then, and I still believe it. If Justin Murray ends up being your right tackle, I'm okay with that. I am okay with that.
The Justin Murray we saw in December, I'm good with that. The Justin Murray that we saw in September might make me a little nervous, but he was, if you talk to the players and the coaches, and Wolf, you know this, he was the most improved player on that Cardinals team.
Yes.
I mean, remember DJ Humphreys told us, he admitted later in the season right here on the Big Red Rage, that before that opener against the Lions in the offensive line room, the guys were like, whoa, wait a minute. You've never started a game in the NFL before?
Yes.
There was even some trepidation in the O-line room initially. But the fact that he's – and, Wolf, the fact that they've re-signed so many of their own guys, including Marcus Gilbert, who might be your starting right tackle – in an offseason where the rookie head coaches are really going to be under the gun, what sort of advantage do you think that is for the Cardinals?
Oh, I think it's huge, Paulie. I really do, especially that offensive line. Very underrated offensive line. An offensive line that got much maligned last year, that really didn't play that poorly. I love the fact they signed Marcus Gilbert and brought him back. If he could just stay healthy, and I realize that's a big if, but this guy is a Pro Bowl tackle. That's what my brother told me. And you know what, Sean Kugler? He'd tell you the same thing if he's healthy.
All right, speaking of talking some ball, how about we bring in former Cardinals broadcaster Rob Fredrickson as we get rolling. The Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
over the middle. It's caught inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5. Touchdown, Early Doucette. It's caught by Doucette at the 10. Spins out of a tackle at the 5. And Doucette takes it in for the touchdown. Fitzgerald wide open at the 20. Loose at the 10. Fitz is in. Larry Legend does it again in the playoffs. Ball floats out of there. Diving catch anyway by Fitz in the end zone. Touchdown. Throws over the middle. What a catch by Preston. Touchdown, Arizona.
You're wondering which game that was in the career, the Hall of Fame career by Kurt Warner. That was the game where he had more touchdown passes than incompletions. 5 touchdown strikes, just 4 incompletions. And by the way, that was in a playoff win, a wild card playoff win against a young Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. It is the Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Paul Calvisi at home. Ron Wolfley in studio. We'll have Rob Fredrickson coming up next. But Wolf, think about that game. Think about that performance. It is all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Because guess what? We're now going to get an opening triple header on that for Saturday and Sunday. Extra playoff teams. You have 14 from 12. Have you let it wash over you yet, Ron Wolfley?
Yeah, I'm letting it wash over me, Paulie. There's no doubt about it. I don't like it, period. That's just me, okay? Listen, fans love this. This is the greatest thing on the face of the planet. We now get 14 teams into the postseason, right? Teams in the league actually love it. And why would you love it, right? Because now it's easier for you to get into the postseason. I'm a traditionalist. That's all I'm saying. I thought it was perfect right where it was. I don't like the fact that you go to 14 because to me, Paul, at some point in time, you're going to 16. You're going to go to 16 teams. Half the league is going to get in because they want those two byes. We've lived with two byes in each conference for how many decades now? A long, long time. And the NFL likes that model right there. So now we go to 14 teams. But eventually, Paulie, I believe it's going to be 16. It's a slippery slope. And that's the reason why I don't like it. I thought it was perfect.
Well, at 16, yeah, you'll hear me squawk. Right now, I didn't necessarily need two extra playoff teams. And by the way, you're only going to have a single team earning the bye, which you know, it was pointed out that could make for some more meaningful and drama-filled football in December, as only one team's going to end up with a bye, and so perhaps there are more meaningful games through Week 17, Week 18 starting next year. Okay, I get that. But in terms of if that was the cost, Ron Wolfley, to reduce the preseason by a game, then I'm on board. And it was all about the negotiations and the brand new CBA. And speaking of a long, long time, somebody went back and did the math, and they went back the last 30 years, and of the 60 teams that would have been eligible, only one of those teams would have had a sub-500 record.
Right.
So, you know,
but even 500, right? I mean, honestly, I realize that we've seen the Seattle Seahawks get into the postseason at 7-9.
Right.
We all understand that. We've seen that year, right? 8-8, I don't think you ought to get in. If, in fact, you use this measure for 2019 and the 2019 season, the Pittsburgh Steelers at 8-8 gets in. They get in.
And I'm with you. I didn't need the Steelers in the playoffs last year. Honestly, the Rams would have been in the NFC at 9-7. And
yes.
And the Rams, to me, weren't a playoff caliber team at the end of the season. The flip side is, how about the 2013 Cardinals that were 10-6? And they were absolutely rolling at the end of the season. And there were a lot of guys on that team who felt like the Cardinals would have done a lot of damage in that postseason.
Right. And also, Paulie, as we talk about this too, understand that, I mean, what you're doing to the playoff format right here, this isn't going to make me roll on the ground and gouge my eyes out. It is not going to make me do that, Paul. Because honestly, when you're talking about a playoff format, that I could care less. I really could. When it comes right down to it, when you're talking about eliminating Oklahoma drill and how you play this game, that's the thing that's what I'm rolling on the ground gouging my eyes out, is when you're talking about eliminating Oklahoma.
It's more how you play the game versus
correct.
How many games.
Exactly. You know what? It's not what you do to the game as much as it's how you play the game, and the fact that you're changing that where there's no Oklahoma drill. I understand why they're doing it. I understand why the NFL is doing it. I do. CTE is real, Paul. It is. I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it for safety reasons, period. But, man, that was like losing a family member. I'm not going to lie.
Well, Michael Bidwell, team chairman, team president of the Arizona Cardinals, met the media earlier this week on a video teleconference, and he was asked about the expanded playoff field.
I was glad we were able to vote on that. I think that'll be great for the fans and great for the teams, especially those teams that are in divisions that are a little tougher with an additional wild card team in each conference. So I think it's a really positive development.
So the three division winners are going to play the three wild cards. And once again, you're going to have a triple header on that Saturday. You're going to have a triple header on that Sunday. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with strapping on the football feed bag for another 3 or 4 hours.
I will admit, that is going to be pretty cool, Paul.
That'll be epic. And then to your point earlier, it's the business of football as well. They sold the Sunday afternoon game to CBS for about $70 million, and then the Sunday night game to NBC for mid-70s, so it's about $150 million in extra revenue.
So let's see, Paulie, over the course of a new CBA, what is that? That's over $1 billion somewhere in there, right? So, hey, listen, this I'm not going to lose my mind over this. I'm not going to draw a line in the sand over this right here. The one thing I will tell you right now, I really do like, is the fact that the number one seed is the only seed that gets a bye.
I do. I like that as well.
Paulie, I love that, right? I mean, that gives you impetus as well. That gives you impetus if you're 2 weeks left in the season, late in December, and you think you got it all sewn up, right, as the number one seed, but you're not sure. You can't take your foot off the pedal, because that's a big deal to get that bye going into the postseason.
By the way, speaking of the schedule, an executive VP for the NFL this week told reporters that the league is, quote, pretty confident the season will begin on time and be conducted normally based on the current info. And we know it's ever evolving on a day-to-day basis, but on the current info from COVID-19 and the experts are talking to, the international games are still set to take place, because you saw baseball eliminate their international games. Obviously, those were taken in place in July, so much different. But the Cardinals are slotted for a Mexico City game. And so the thing is, Wolf, we won't learn the schedule sometime between now and May 9th, which is going to be 3 weeks later than usual per the announcement.
Yes, absolutely, Bully. But what they're doing right now, I mean, I applaud the NFL. I applaud Roger Goodell for moving forward, right? They can do everything safely. They can do it responsibly, virtually, remotely. And it's even semi-entertaining, as a matter of fact, when you hear of stories like the New Orleans Saints and Sean Payton and what they're doing, Paulie. They've taken over a brewery, right? I mean, that to me, that's entertainment. It really is. And it was also learning the intricacies, right, the idiosyncrasies of how they're actually going to do this, the New Orleans Saints, how they're going to pull it off. Only six or seven guys are going to be in the room, their war room, right? Only six or seven of those guys, Paulie, and they're all going to have more than 6 feet, obviously. They're going to have 10, 12 feet separating them, Sean Payton says, right? And then they'll have everyone else virtually tapping in via Zoom or what have you.
Well, you'd be tapping in more ways than one. You're in a brewery. I mean, you know, you can get your, you can get yourself a draft, and then you can conduct the draft. That's the way that's going to go down. But, you know, to your point about how intriguing it's going to be, the NFL draft is compelling content, period.
Yes.
Now a lot of people are going to be tuning in. Well, how are they actually going to execute the broadcast?
You better have a good IT team, Paul. That's all I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Might want to give the IT guy a raise.
And once again, we need it. We need the distraction. We need something in sports that's going on in real time. And America loves the NFL draft. I think everyone's looking forward to it. It's just good for the mental health of the country at this point. We'll come back. We'll talk some football. Rob Fredrickson on the Big Red Rage.
First and goal at the 3 yard line. Fires left side, looking for Hopkins, who tips it to himself with one hand, pulls it into the back left corner of the end zone. He tipped it to himself, and a touchdown for the Texans. What a catch!
As dramatic a play as you will ever see. Unbelievable by one of the best in the game, DeAndre Hopkins.
Some of the unreal catches that we've seen over the career of DeAndre Hopkins. And what's also unreal, and you just listen to his new teammates' interaction, is the fact that he's actually going to be in a Cardinals uniform. And, Wolf, you couldn't miss it. When I went to NFL.com this morning, they had a big flashy picture that NFL jerseys are now available in the team shot, and one of the three that they have featured there in the team shop would be the number 10 in red of the Arizona Cardinals. And once again, it's just moments like that where you realize, oh my goodness, it isn't a daydream. This is really happening.
It's incredible, Paulie. It really is, and it's so encouraging right now. And what's also very encouraging is just the fact that his teammates, his future teammates, he hasn't even met a lot of his teammates right now, but these guys are getting jacked up to actually play for and with DeAndre Hopkins.
A guy who once upon a time couldn't tackle Barry Sanders, so he decided, you know what, if I can't beat him, I'll join him. And he went from the Raiders to the Detroit Lions before he came to the Arizona Cardinals, joins us now on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Rob Fredrickson, good evening. How are we doing, Rob?
Paulie, Wolf, how you guys doing?
Doing good, backer. Doing good, man.
How's the personal hygiene at home, by the way, Rob? Is everything good at home? You are continuing to take care of yourself.
I'm healthy. I am losing my mind, maybe, but everything's going good here. And, Paulie, I'll tell you this. You're lucky you're at home, because I may not have been able to tackle Barry Sanders, but I'm pretty sure I could get you.
That's right. Yeah, my lateral quickness isn't what it used to be at Leland High School back in the day. That's for sure. My goodness. What was your reaction, Rob Fredrickson, who works on the Cardinals broadcast for the last decade plus? What was your reaction when you saw the news DeAndre Hopkins is an Arizona Cardinal?
Yeah, Paul, I don't think I'm overstating this when I say I thought that was the biggest trade in Arizona sports history.
Whoa.
Maybe comparable would be the Charles Barkley to the Suns, but
yeah.
I'm scratching my brain trying to think of something transactional that was on par with this, and I just can't. This was out of left field, and it was phenomenal for the Cardinals.
So, Becker, tell us schematically what he does for this offense and Kyler Murray.
I mean, he's such an explosive receiver, Wolf. He just runs unbelievable routes. His hands are next to the guy that he'll be lining up with, Larry Fitzgerald, are probably the best in the NFL. He just has the ability to win those one-on-one matchups and create separation and give Kyler Murray just an unbelievable Corvette of a wide receiver for him to throw the ball to.
You know, Jordan Hicks met the media today, and he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. The first thing he said was, well, now a defense has to pick. It has to pick its poison, and they have some serious choices to make in their defensive game plans. What do you think he meant by that? Break that down for us.
Well, I mean, you just look at the weapons that the Cardinals now have with DeAndre Hopkins. They got Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, who's kind of coming into his own, and then the re-signing of Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds. A lot of people fall asleep on Chase Edmonds, but before he hurt his hamstring last year, he had some phenomenal games. So they got weapons, serious weapons on this Cardinals offense. And you really, like you said, you have to pick your poison and kind of decide as a defense, how do we want to defend against this offense and against these multiple weapons?
And see, this is the one thing I'm really, really jacked up about, because I do believe that there's going to be a game plan by every defensive coordinator to take away DeAndre Hopkins at some point in time, especially in critical third down situations. What's so cool about this, obviously, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, now all of a sudden, once they show their hand, they become a little bit more predictable as to what they're going to do. Isn't that right, Backer? They become a little bit more predictable as to what they're going to try to do to take away DeAndre Hopkins, which now all of a sudden allows you, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, to make in-game adjustments the rest of the game.
Absolutely, Wolf. And I think Cliff Kingsbury last year has really showed the ability to make those adjustments on the fly and even throughout the season. But and talking about in-game, the first couple series, both teams are kind of feeling each other out. Yep. And figuring out what their game plan is to combat what they're trying to do offensively. And I think Cliff Kingsbury, he'll be able to identify that early on and really go into that deep playbook that, is only going to get more complex and more added to it as Kyler Murray matures and this offense matures and understands really his philosophy. they're going to have the ability in game to really, you know, attack those defenses, regardless of what those defenses are trying to do to take away DeAndre Hopkins.
For example, Jordan Hicks said today, the first decision they got to make is, are they going to, on an opposing defense, are they going to pull a guy out of coverage to spy Kyler Murray? Because if you do pull a guy out of coverage to spy Kyler Murray, well, now, I mean, think of the single coverage across the board, and if you're not going to have a spy on Kyler Murray, well, the Cardinals realize that, and there could be a lot of organic chunk runs by Kyler Murray. So there was that observation I thought was interesting. But Rob Fredrickson, former Cardinals linebacker, joining us on the Big Red Rage. Listen to what Jordan Hicks had to say about the defense and the additions the Cardinals have made there.
Adding the D tackle, adding some linebackers. You know, I think our front seven is right now at this point probably improved tremendously. You know, anytime you get a high profile D tackle, it makes your linebacker play that much better. Anytime you get somebody that can rush on the other side of the top rusher in the league, it's going to make your front seven that much better.
Yeah, three big needs, Rob, and you can check every single box based on the free agent signees.
Yeah, when you look at the defense in 2019 for the Cardinals, they really needed help up front. And when they got Jordan Phillips from the Bills, I mean, he had 9.5 sacks last year as a defensive tackle. That's amazing. That's awesome. And Devon Kennard, picking him up from the Lions, I think he's going to help Chandler Jones so much on the opposite end of being that pass rusher coming off the opposite end. And Devondre Campbell, the inside linebacker, he really is a guy that, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how they utilize him, how they play him, because he's a guy that does have some ability to cover the tight end and move around. So it'll be interesting to see how they use those guys. But you look at the defensive backfield of the Cardinals last year, you know, when you look at it from a statistical standpoint, they weren't very good. They weren't good at all. In fact, they were probably worse, or one of the worst teams in the NFL in terms of pass defense. But, you know, you didn't have Patrick Peterson for half the year. Robert Alford was gone, injured. And, you know, Byron Murphy was just a rookie. So I think the defensive backfield is going to be greatly improved because of the additions that they got in free agency.
Yeah, it's funny the way that happens, where a pass rush can really cover a lot of woes in the secondary. Isn't that right, Backer?
Yeah, absolutely.
And not only that, too, it's just the fact you've got Jordan Phillips, a three technique that you can line up inside of Chandler Jones, opposite of Devon Kennard. So now all of a sudden, you also know what kind of protections that an offense likes to use, and they become more predictable when you put Jordan Phillips next to Chandler Jones and where they're going to slide their line and slide their protection for the most part, which once again benefits a pass rusher, does it not, Backer?
It does. I mean, Chandler Jones has been having offensive lines slide to him more than anyone. I mean, he's spent his whole career basically having the offensive line slide to his direction, running backs, tight ends chipping on him. He's had to deal with double teams his entire career, and even in spite of that, he still gets 19 sacks last year. So I think this is going to be a windfall for Kennard. I think he's going to have a breakout season this year for the Cardinals because of the attention that Chandler Jones gets. But Jordan Phillips, for a defensive tackle, a three technique, to get 9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can continue that type of progression that you've kind of seen throughout his career, oh man, that's going to be awesome for the Cardinals defensively.
Remember, the Cardinals have Brenton Buckner back as the D-line coach. He's one of the better ones in the league. There's no doubt about that.
He's the man.
I mean, you love Buck. Yeah. And here's my question, because you've been in those linebacker rooms, Rob, and is it realistic to think Devondre Campbell can check the tight end? Because, once again, the Cardinals gave up 17 receiving touchdowns in 16 games to the tight end.
Well, you know, Paul, there's some pretty good tight ends in this league. I'm telling you, these guys that are 250, 260, 70 pounds, and they can run 4.5s, and they can run great routes, and they're big. It's not easy. It's not the easiest thing in the world to just say, hey, I'm going to line this guy up on the tight end and take him away. I mean, we've tried all different kinds of things as a Cardinals organization. You know, they've had Buda Baker on tight ends. They've had other guys in the past try to do it. not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. And we'll get into what else they have to add on that side of the ball next on the Big Red Rage.
With the first pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
Dynamic talent, a unique talent that I don't know anybody's seen. When you talk about that combination of, you know, runner and polished pocket passer who can throw from different arm angles and be accurate and throw a touch and then be able to take off and take it 80 on any snap. You know, he was raised to be super competitive. He's had success at every level. He doesn't know anything but winning. All those things combined, that's why we're excited about the pick.
That was from draft night 2019. Cliff Kingsbury on the eventual offensive rookie of the year, Kyler Murray. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Rob Fredrickson, former Cardinals linebacker and broadcaster, all practicing social distancing here from three different spots. But from wherever you're standing and looking, the fact that Kyler Murray, Rob, got 16 starts last year. We talked about this morning, didn't we, Wolf? How you look at Patrick Mahomes, he got a single start his rookie year, and then he was MVP in year two. Lamar Jackson got 7 starts his rookie year, plus that dismal playoff game. He was your MVP this year. I just think everyone is so jacked up, Rob. You just can't wait to see what year two is going to be all about for Kyler Murray.
Oh, it was awesome for him to stay healthy and play and start in all those games last year. And the thing that I noticed, you know, going through the year last year was how he kind of calmed down and settled down and understood the offense more and more as the season progressed. Early on, you know, you saw him bailing out of the pocket and basically running into sacks. And he kind of settled down later in the season and just got more comfortable and looked more comfortable in the pocket and became a better quarterback and a better team.
Just listening to you say that right there, it reminds me of last season, of course, and watching him, right? And it seemed like the more balanced the Arizona Cardinals became personnel group-wise, the more balanced they became in their attack, running the ball and throwing the ball, it seemed that Kyler Murray got better and better and better from that point forward. Was that your observation?
Yeah, absolutely, Wolf. You know, they started adding in the tight end more. And, you know, you started seeing multiple personnel groups and different personnel groups. They started out the season going, you know, 4 wides, 5 wides, and he was scrambling around for his life. And he just never looked comfortable early on. And, you know, hats off to Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray for kind of changing the overall balance of the offense and really dedicating themselves to the running game. And then, you know, obviously when Kenyon Drake kind of came onto the scene and exploded there, that really helped. And I think that really helped more than anyone. It helped Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Right.
So Kyler was the number one pick in the draft. Cardinals picking number 8 this year. Rob, do you have a gut feel? Because it's more intriguing than ever to me just because of the fact the Cardinals have filled seemingly almost all the needs in free agency, and then by re-signing Justin Murray today and Marcus Gilbert, you at least have a feasible setup at right tackle. That's where most of the national mock drafts have the Cardinals going at number 8. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting, Paul. You're right. They had such a great free agency so far that they've filled a lot of those glaring needs. So they're going to have a little bit of a luxury there when their pick comes up in terms of where they go. They don't have to fill a glaring hole. So, you know, do you go defensive line? You double down on that and take Derek Brown. One of my buddies tweeted me and wanted me to plug that. I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen. you know, you could always use an offensive tackle. One thing I say is in the NFL, you can never have too many tackles and cornerbacks. And you could always use an offensive tackle, although I'll say this again, midway through last season and towards the end, the offensive line was playing really good.
Yes.
And very much above average. And Kyler Murray, I think, really settled into the pocket and became a better player. So the offensive line, to me, is pretty solid. So they could go wide receiver too. Who knows?
Yes. You know what? Honestly, I'm thinking of Kyler Murray. Why not double down on the fact that you picked him number one overall. He's a quarterback. He's 5'10", by the way. And you picked him number one overall. And guess what he did? He went out and won Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? I mean, how many people do that? How many people actually go out and fulfill all of that expectation, all of that potential out there? Well, Kyler Murray did it. So now, all of a sudden, why not put playmakers around Kyler Murray, Rob? That's what I would do. And the only thing better than DeAndre Hopkins is a 4-2-5 over the top of DeAndre Hopkins. That's the only thing better, and that's why I look at Henry Ruggs III, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That guy would open up so much room for the Japanese Fighting Fish, for Larry Fitzgerald underneath, for Christian Kirk underneath, DeAndre Hopkins as well. It's not like D-Hop is a guy that's going to run by corners down the field. Now, he does have a vertical game. There's no doubt about that. He can get behind corners. He is a little sneaky fast, but that's not his forte. You bring in a guy who's running a 4-2-5, and I'm telling you right now, with Kenyon Drake in the queue behind Kyler Murray as your quarterback, you got nothing but playmakers on the field. That to me is something that I'm telling you right now I would love to see.
Well, if the only problem with that, you know, that room, that wide receiver room, there's some egos in there. How are you going to spread the ball around to all those egos, man? That's
well, I know, but at some point in time, time is going to catch up with Larry Fitzgerald. At some point in time, it's going to.
You could be working a year ahead. If Jeff Okuda falls to you, are you working a year ahead? Patrick Peterson going into the final year of his deal. Cornerback is one of those four primary positions that Steve Keim always likes to target, you know, in the upper half of the first round. Yeah, but if Derek Brown, a mountain of a man or a wrecking ball, if he falls to you, you'd be all over that. Isaiah Simmons, remember Devondre Campbell only has a one-year deal. You could see them going that direction. And that's kind of my point, Rob, is they could go any direction, and it would seemingly make sense right now.
They could. They could trade down and try and get a second-round pick that they don't have anymore. They could do a variety of things because this draft is so deep at the wide receiver position in particular. And if that's maybe an area that, you know, like Wolf was talking about, that they want to go in, they could trade back and pick up a second-round pick and just accumulate some draft picks and go that route. It's really, you know, a great position the Cardinals are in right now. They have so many options of great players that I think are going to fall into their lap at that pick. That they could go in any number of directions.
And especially if that quarterback is there at 8 and then their phone starts to ring, you're absolutely right. They could easily trade back and let a team come up and try and draft their future franchise quarterback. All we do know for sure is that there will be a draft and teams will not be located at their team facilities, which are shut down through April 30th, at least across the NFL. So, as Michael Bidwell explained earlier this week, they're preparing to conduct the draft remote.
We're going to be prepared, and I think every team's going to be prepared to have a virtual draft room. There will be challenges. I know that our IT departments across the league are working hard on that, and I'm especially proud of our guys. I've seen firsthand what a great job they've done, not only getting everybody up and running, but also me, you know, at my home so that I can be as effective as I can be.
There's just a lot to discover as to what this will look like. How is it going to proceed, Wolf? I know they're considering giving extra time between picks because if teams are trying to trade picks, especially in the first round, how effective is the communication lines going to be? So there's just a lot of variables they're trying to anticipate.
You know, honestly, guys, this is a bad year to be a prospect coming out if you've got any type of injury concern, right? Unless you're Tua Tagovailoa, all right? Unless you're that guy. You know what? This is a bad year to come out. If you've got any type of injury concern, if you've got any type of character issues, I think that is going to significantly drop you in the draft. I think general managers are going to be much more fastidious when it actually comes to drafting players in terms of saying, hey, listen, you know what? We're not going to take a chance on a guy. We're not going to do it. What we are going to do is draft the known. And I think that is probably going to take place all the way down the first couple of rounds. Maybe in the third and fourth you start reaching. But if you've got a character issue, man, it's a bad year to come out.
Yeah,
you know, Rob, that was one of those big Andrew Luck words that Wolf just used, fastidious. That was good.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not only that, Wolf, it's going to impact those borderline guys, those late round, maybe free agent guys that now don't have the opportunity to work out for scouts and to work out for coaches, where maybe those in-person workouts were something that could have sealed the deal for them or got them into a position where teams really took notice of them. So now all the scouts in these personnel departments really have to rely on the game film from previous years.
Yeah, Rob, with that in mind, I said this earlier this week, do you think it might minimize the margin for error just based on the fact that they can't mess themselves up with data from pro days and other interviews? I mean, you almost exclusively have to go with the film now.
Yeah, you got to rely on those game day films, and that's, you know, I've always said that's what's really important. The game film is really shows you what kind of player you're looking at.
I think honestly, the tape, just watching the tape, Backer, it'll tell you everything you need to know about a kid if you watch him from the snap to the whistle, right?
100%.
And even in between plays, it's one of the reasons why you go with live scouts to watch how he interacts with his teammates in between plays and series.
All right, Rob, 100%. Thanks for the time. We know you're going a little stir-crazy there at the house. You know, just go out and run some gassers up and down your street, you know, just like the old days.
Paulie, Wolf, I miss you guys. Hopefully we can get back together soon.
Okay, brother.
There you go. Rob Frederickson back right after this.
Shotgun snap to Winston, drops back to his one to throw, fires over the middle, tipped into the air and picked off at the 20-yard line. Jordan Hicks with the interception. Garoppolo out of the shotgun, takes the snap, drops back to throw in trouble, and he is hit, and he is sacked back at the 5-yard line by Jordan Hicks. Snap to Garoppolo, short set, looking left all the way, throwing left, intercepted at the 10-yard line. It's Hicks bringing it back to the 20, 30, 40, Hicks at the 50, Hicks' third interception as a Cardinal, and he takes it back to the 45-yard line of San Francisco. Looking to dump it off, the Cardinals cover it, but he throws it anyway, and it is caught by Samuels. A huge hit by Hicks that dislodges the helmet.
Hicks with the boom shot, and that's what you want to see from your leader. Hicks has been playing big all year long for the Arizona Cardinals.
There was one constant on defense for the Arizona Cardinals in 2019, and his name was Jordan Hicks. He was one of two guys in the NFL to play every single snap of every single game. And in terms of tackles, he put the big into Big Red Rage. 150 tackles on the season, Ron Wolfley. And think about this time a year ago. We were all just wondering and hoping and praying he'd be able to play anywhere near a complete season. Man, did Jordan Hicks exceed expectations.
Yeah, Paulie, you know, it's so cool to watch Jordan Hicks play because it's not only the tangible that he brings, right, his tackling ability, of course, and the fact that he's very, very physical at the point of attack and he holds up, but not only that, but it's the intangibles more than anything else that he brings, and the fact that he knows the defense as well as the defensive coordinator knows the defense. This guy is incredibly, incredibly bright, and he can help other guys get lined up. That's so important. One of the reasons why he's playing Mike Backer. And then, Paul, stop and think about it. Even the secondary sometimes, from time to time, you don't know what your check is. And if you can look at one guy on the field and the guy can tell you what you're supposed to do, you can't even believe how valuable that is to a player.
I can't tell you how many times on the sideline, right before the snap, the opponent snapped the ball. There's Jordan Hicks giving somebody some last-minute instructions,
yep.
Telling a guy where to line up.
Yep.
In fact, he's so bright, Wolf, that he's figured out a way to continue to work out, even with the stay-at-home social distancing and the fact that the Hicks family is between houses. He's had to improvise. Listen up.
We are actually in between homes here in Austin, so we've been staying with my mother-in-law. And luckily, my father-in-law has some workout stuff. So we actually rearranged the garage, made a little makeshift gym. We've got a little rack and enough bands and stuff to get the job done. But yeah, it's definitely been a challenge.
That's Jordan Hicks today. So, Wolf, you're not the only guy with the equipment in the garage.
You know what, Paul? You got to do it, right? I mean, you're a pro. You have to do it. You have to work out. You have to keep your body in tip-top shape. And this is the time where you typically start grinding if, in fact, you are a pro. And let me just say this, Paulie. In 1985, when I came into the league, right, and it had been going on for decades and decades and decades, but in 1985, when I came in, you had a 3-day minicamp, Paul. That was your off season.
Mm.
That was it. Wow. Nothing else. You had a three-day mini camp, and then after that 3 days, they handed you a playbook and said, oh, by the way, be ready when training camp opens up. And that is it, your exposure to your team and your teammates in the offseason right there. I know it's possible. I know you can actually do it. And even though everything is all messed up right now, I think these guys will be in tip-top shape when they come back because they're pros. It's what they do.
Tell you what. Jordan Hicks came into the league with the Eagles, and he got everyone's attention during the teleconference today where he said he's noticed similarities between the direction of this Cardinals team going into year two after having a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback based on his time in Philadelphia in year one under Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz and what happened in year two when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And that got everyone's attention when he said, you know, something just hit in that year two under Peterson and Carson Wentz with the Eagles, and he notices the Cardinals are going in the same direction.
And all the close games they played as well. Yep. The Cardinals played, what, 6 one-possession games last year that they lost.
Hey, if you want to get on the season ticket priority list, go to azcardinals.com/priority list. Back right after this to wrap up the Big Red Rage.
Today, the roar of the crowd is a memory. We've pressed pause on the shared connection we all feel from sports. It wasn't a choice, but maybe it can teach us a little about our community. Soon enough, it'll be game day once again. But for now, maybe we should stand up and cheer for something different. For personal sacrifice. For the things and people we once took for granted. For teachers and sanitation workers, first responders and soldiers, for the pharmacists, for the people who supply our food, for those keeping our electricity on and our water clean, and most of all, for our doctors and nurses. Show how much we appreciate them for keeping us safe, giving us faith, and providing us hope. This time, let them hear the roar of the crowd, from border to border and everywhere in between. Someday soon, the time will come again to drop the puck. We'll get to be in our seats just in time for the opening tip. It'll be the top of the first, no one on, no one out. Kickoff will be just moments away, and our children will be back on the ice, the court, and the field. We'll return to the smell of hot dogs, the taste of cold beer, the sights, and best of all, the sounds. Until then, let's stay together, even if we can't be together. Be safe, be kind, show gratitude. Thank somebody for doing their job. For you, your loved ones, for Arizona.
As the tweet said from the Cardinals official account that tweeted out that video, and that is a must-watch effort by Cardinals VP Tim Delaney, by the way, to the state of Arizona, we are all in this together. And then it wrapped by saying, all of us, all together, all AZ. It is a Big Red Rage, and Wolf, in the words of Larry Fitzgerald via Twitter earlier this afternoon, Larry says, and I quote, please take this seriously. Stay inside. Keep your distance. To first responders, doctors, nurses, EMTs, firemen, grocery workers, truck drivers, delivery people, and cleaning staff, I want to extend my gratitude for your heroic work by being on the front lines every day. End tweet, Larry Fitzgerald.
Just, Paulie, it's incredible. It really is. It's incredible to see everybody coming together, right? And this is something that, oddly enough, it's adversity, it's an obstacle, and yet you see us all coming together. It doesn't matter what your background is. I see entities as well, organizations, not just professional sports organizations, but organizations, right? Companies, businesses, everybody seems to be rallying and coming together. It's incredible to see it, and really it's heartwarming.
How about the 3 blood drives the Cardinals hosted at State Farm Stadium, and all of them filled up almost instantaneously? Yeah, the million-dollar donation to the Arizona Coronavirus Relief Fund. You've had players, DeAndre Hopkins, the latest, with a $150,000 donation. Chandler Jones donated 150,000 meals to the food banks. It's been across the board for the Arizona Cardinals.
Very, very cool, Paulie. No doubt about it, right? And once again, I also want to congratulate Tim Delaney as well. What an audio-video freak you are. That was big time.
Hey, for Jim Omohundro, Mitch Vareldis, Rob Fredrickson, Ron Wolfley there, Paul Calvisi here. As Jordan Hicks said today, the players noticed that the Cardinals are trying to win now, and that goes a long way. That means a lot. Same for the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.